Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
A good Wednesday morning. The crisis on college campuses reaching a boiling point overnight.
New clashes, new violence, police called in. It's May 1st. This is Today. Breaking news, show of force. The NYPD storms Columbia University, entering the building seized by pro-Palestinian protesters. Hundreds arrested. The campus now cleared. And across the country, the LAPD brought in to break up violence on the campus of UCLA. The confrontations now escalating at schools from coast to coast. No end in sight. We'll have the very latest on the growing tensions. In contempt, Donald Trump fined repeatedly for violating the gag order at his criminal trial. The judge warning of jail time if he does it again. Just ahead, from the courtroom to the campaign trail, where the former president is headed today. Abortion showdown, one of the nation's strictest bans, taking effect this morning in Florida. What it means for millions of women. Feeling the fury, a storm chaser caught in the path of a powerful tornado as yet another outbreak tears across the nation's heartland. And there's a risk of even more twisters and severe weather today. Al has the full forecast. Historic shift, the Biden administration moving to ease restrictions on marijuana. Inside, the major change in the works and the impact on the push to legalize pot nationwide. And drama at the Garden. Philadelphia roars back to stun the Knicks in overtime and stay alive. Cleveland and Milwaukee also saving their seasons as the NBA playoff action intensifies today, Wednesday, May 1st, 2024.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Today. Nice to have you along with us on a very busy Wednesday morning.
Yeah, it is.
We begin with that ongoing chaos playing out overnight on college campuses. Police in riot gear retaking that occupied building at Columbia University, taking hundreds of demonstrators into custody. No reports of injuries.
Meantime, a look at these images across the country at UCLA. Clashes between pro-Israeli and pro-Palestinian demonstrators taking place there overnight. Police called in.
Protests have now spread to at least 50 campuses across the country. In states like Texas, Ohio, Florida, Indiana, in all, more than 1,300 people have been arrested.
And what gets lost in all of the dramatic images and numbers is what's behind the demonstrations. Many protesters calling on their schools to divest or cut financial ties with Israel. Also worth noting, not all of these arrests have been students. Officials also pointing to outside agitators.
Let's get to Erin McLaughlin. She's at Columbia again for us this morning and was there overnight as this standoff unfolded and the building was cleared. Erin, good morning.
Savannah, good morning. The NYPD says it took them nearly 2 hours to clear Columbia University of protesters. I was there overnight as dozens of police dressed in full riot gear entered the campus. Crowds gathered outside of the university, chanting and booing. This morning, police say more than 200 were arrested.
Overnight in New York City, a tense drama unfolding at Columbia University. Police in riot gear, swiftly taking back a building occupied by anti-war protesters. NYPD officers using a SWAT-style truck to enter Hamilton Hall by force.
The building was very heavily fortified.
Police video showing officers clearing the building, eventually taking about 100 people into custody.
You see the police in full riot gear leaving the campus.
The dramatic end coming just hours after officials revealed what they called evidence of professional agitators trying to create chaos on campus. There were also protests and arrests at the City University of New York overnight. And across the country at UCLA, clashes between pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian demonstrators. Police moving in this morning. Over the past month, encampments have popped up on dozens of college campuses across the country, many inspired by the initial demonstration at Columbia. According to an NBC News tally, police have detained or arrested more than 1,300 people. Many protesters have been calling on their schools to divest or cut financial ties with Israel, and companies, they say, are aiding the war.
We have to divest in order for us to have peace and to have justice in the region.
Columbia has said it will not divest from Israel, but offered more transparency. One of the central demands the protesters who had occupied Hamilton Hall had of the university. Students there before the police came in asking Columbia to allow food into the building.
Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation?
So it seems like you're sort of saying we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take up this building. Now would you please bring us some food?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
As the protests go on, Jewish students at multiple schools have said they felt unsafe.
This should not be my number one concern, my safety and feeling overwhelmed by my environment.
And now graduation ceremonies are just days away for the class of 2024. The same students who had their high school graduations canceled 4 years ago by COVID.
I think the primary concern is just restoring peace and order to the university.
So, Aaron, police are still there on Columbia's campus. So what's next there?
Well, the police say that now that both Hamilton Hall and the encampment are clear of protesters, it'll be up to the university to handle the remaining tents and student belongings. Meanwhile, they say they'll be here until at least May 17th, which, of course, is 2 days after graduation. Hoda.
All right. Erin McLaughlin for us there on the college campus of Columbia. Thanks, Erin.
Also this morning, Donald Trump hitting the campaign trail on a day off from his criminal trial here in New York. In court yesterday, the former president was held in contempt, fined $9,000 and threatened with jail time for his repeated violations of the gag order in the case. On the stand, jurors also heard from the lawyer who helped broker hush money agreements for Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal over their claims of affairs with Mr. Trump just before the 2016 election. And all of this, of course, amid the backdrop of those campus protests just blocks away. We've got Laura Jarrett here, as you can see. We've got Peter Alexander as well. We'll get to the trial in a moment. Laura, let's talk about what we're seeing. This is leading every single newscast. You see this chaos on college campuses. The president, as I understand, former President Trump, calls into Fox News, sees a moment here, sees a political advantage here.
Well, that's exactly right. And for Democrats, there is a real fear of protest backlash right now. Privately among Democratic lawmakers, they are sharing videos and pictures of what's happening on these campuses across the country right now. And this is an issue that really sort of demonstrates the divides within the Democratic Party. So that's the real concern for them. Think about this. This started at fundraisers and at speeches, including those done by the president. Now it's at campuses across the country. And the more the focus is on issues like this right now, this chaos that Donald Trump wants to amplify, much like he did about the same chaos we saw after the death of George Floyd in the summer of 2020 before the last election, it takes away from the issues the Democrats want to be talking about. Issues like reproductive rights, issues more broadly about health care, and frankly, about the alleged crimes committed by Donald Trump himself.
Well, I know there's a concern also that it depresses Democratic turnout because there's this divide, but there's a certain irony because if the people that are upset about the Biden administration's Gaza policy stay home, then you're going to have former President Trump, who is more hawkish on Israel than President Biden.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right on that issue in particular. And that is one of the concerns, is the potential for a depressed turnout among young voters right now. That's why you're really hearing the urgency privately and publicly from the administration right now for a diplomatic breakthrough as it relates to the situation between Israel and Gaza, with talks ongoing in that region. We heard from the national security spokesperson saying right now, in effect, that there has to be this deal. This deal has to happen now. They recognize the need to get this done, and they hope that a breakthrough could simmer some of these tensions.
I talked to Laura about the trial. So it's an off day. On every Wednesday is an off day. Yesterday, the former president was held in contempt by the judge for repeated violations of the gag order, and then the judge kind of gave a shot across the bow.
He said to him, look, if you keep doing this, I'm going to have to exact a more serious punishment. And the only other punishment available to him, other than a $1,000 fine, is jail time. He's made it clear he doesn't want to do that. He recognized in his order there are First Amendment concerns. He realizes he's dealing with the Republican frontrunner. But if he doesn't do what he would do for any other defendant, he's going to look ineffectual. And I think that's the tension that the judge is experiencing right now. And this is not even over. We're going to be back in court tomorrow with more alleged violations of the gag order, more different statements that the prosecution is asking him to be held in contempt of again.
This gag order is kind of like a little mini trial that's going on. Meanwhile, as for the trial, we had a lawyer on the stand yesterday who was privy to these negotiations and the payments to the porn star, to Stormy Daniels and to Karen McDougal, who alleged that she had a relationship with the former president.
He was there to try to take the jury inside how all of these payments actually started, right? Last week, we heard how Donald Trump was in the room for the alleged plot as they were talking about catching and killing bad stories. Well, then now we're actually in the moment where the hush money is being transferred over to Stormy Daniels. But we are yet to be at the point where we understand Donald Trump's connection to any of this. We've heard a lot about Michael Cohen. We have not heard as much about Donald Trump.
And you pointed out, I mean, these are hush money payments that on their terms are not illegal. The issue is whether or not business records were falsified.
Yes. It's all about the cover-up prosecutors.
Right. Have prosecutors, they're not there yet.
No.
Are they getting there?
That's the question, is whether the jury is getting enough to understand where they're going and whether they feel like their time is being wasted. That's always a balance for these cases.
Well, Lauren Peter, much to discuss. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, let's turn now to a key issue in the presidential race. We're talking about reproductive rights. It's front and center today as one of the strictest abortion bans in the United States takes effect in Florida. NBC's Marissa Parr's in Jacksonville for us. Hey, Marissa.
Hey, Hoda, good morning. Clinics like the one you see behind me have been preparing for today. Today is day one of Florida's new law banning abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy in the vast majority of cases, with some exceptions for things like incest and rape. But with former President Trump and making some controversial new comments on the issue, Hoda, we are already seeing how much abortion rights will play a role come November.
This morning, an abortion ban with ripples far beyond the Sunshine State. After the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, and states began to form their own rules. Many women from surrounding states in the South, which have some of the strictest abortion laws in the country, traveled to Florida to seek abortion care. Florida now banning the procedure before many women even know they're pregnant. Starting today, the closest drivable options for abortion care are North Carolina and Virginia. Florida clinics like A Woman's World in Fort Pierce have been working overtime, trying to squeeze in every patient over 6 weeks pregnant before it became a felony to do so.
Last week, the phones were crazy. We couldn't answer the phones fast enough.
Supporters of the ban point out the law has exceptions for rape, incest, fetal abnormalities, and the life of the mother. State Rep. Mike Beltran, one of the ban's sponsors, says the days of what he calls abortion tourism from other states are over.
Abortion is not health care. There are many countries in the world where abortion is illegal or even more restricted than it would be under the Florida rules.
It's part of a nationwide debate over the issue going into the 2024 campaign. In an interview with Time magazine, former President Trump was asked his thoughts on states monitoring pregnancies to detect if women had an abortion. "I think they might do that," the GOP candidate responded. "You'll have to speak to the individual states." His 2024 rival, President Biden, responding overnight.
There seems to be no limit to how invasive Trump would let the state be. This should be a decision between a woman and her doctor, and the government should get out of people's lives.
And Hoda, voters will have the final say come November. The six-week ban will be on the November ballot, so voters here in Florida will decide whether it stays or goes.
All right. Marissa Parr for us there in Jacksonville, Florida. Marissa, thank you.
The Biden administration is set to make a major election year move. According to four sources, the Drug Enforcement Administration will move toward reclassifying marijuana as a less dangerous drug, easing restrictions nationwide. NBC's Tom Costello joins us with more on this. So, Tom, walk us through what exactly this means in the real world and why it is such a big move.
Well, it's a major decision that would reclassify marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug, which it is now, down to a Level 3 or Schedule 3 drug, And that will mean easing some of the restrictions we're seeing now on marijuana, allowing more research to identify its potential medical benefits. Schedule I drugs include heroin, ecstasy, LSD, highly restricted, viewed as having high potential for abuse, and really no currently accepted medical use. But now marijuana will potentially fall into the same Schedule III category as drugs like Tylenol, codeine, anabolic steroids, and testosterone. They have moderate to low potential for physical and psychological dependence. So marijuana supporters have been pushing for a long time for exactly this change. A poll back in November found that 70% of Americans believed marijuana use should be legal, and that could be a boost for President Biden in a critical election year. The proposal to cut pot from level one to level three still needs to be viewed and reviewed by the White House Office of Management and Budget. Final approval, though, could be months away. Savannah?
But we're talking about federal law. As you know, marijuana is legal in a lot of states now. There seems to be a pot store on every corner. Yeah. So how does that impact that industry?
Yeah, I'm from Colorado. I know it well. Listen, it's essentially, this opens the door now for pharmaceutical companies to lawfully sell and distribute medical marijuana where it's legal. 38 states, plus D.C., have approved the use of cannabis for medical reasons, 24 of which have done so as well for recreational use. So for the states that have not approved the use of cannabis for medical or recreational reasons, reclassifying this drug will not automatically affect state and local laws because, as you mentioned, it is still illegal under federal law.
All right, Tom, thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, coming up on 7:16, Craig joins the table.
Yes.
Hi, Craig.
Hello, Savannah. Good morning. Good morning to you as well. Weather, another big story this morning, because another round of powerful storms targeting the Midwest and South, spawning yet another tornado after more than 100 twisters tore through the region over the weekend. We'll get to Mr. Roker's full forecast in just a moment. But first, NBC's Maggie Vespas made her way to Elkhorn, Nebraska for us. Maggie, good morning to you.
Hey, Craig, good morning. Believe it or not, yesterday marked six straight days of reported tornadoes in the Great Plains and the Midwest. And I mean, just look at this damage. People in places like Elkhorn, Nebraska are just trying to catch their breath. They were out here yesterday sifting through this rubble, sifting through this damage that was left behind by weekend tornadoes, knowing they had to work fast as these severe storms apparently just keep on coming.
This morning, America's heartland hit again.
Big debris! Almost got hit by sheet metal!
This violent twister ripping through Westmoreland, Kansas, tearing apart nearly two dozen homes, causing extensive damage.
It was crazy. It was loud. Everyone was freaking out. Everyone got downstairs, everything. It was crazy.
The same system hammering Kansas and Oklahoma with golf ball sized hail. Authorities confirm one person was killed yesterday.
Oh my God.
It's just the latest severe system in a violent week, with more than 170 reported tornadoes slamming the region over the last 6 days. Authorities confirming six deaths across multiple states, including a four-month-old baby in Oklahoma. A friend says the child's family was inside their home when a twister picked it up and tossed it roughly 200 yards. The family telling NBC News, "We are heartbroken." In Elkhorn, Nebraska, entire neighborhoods are gone after five EF3 tornadoes hit the area over the weekend. Raven Foyt sifting through what's left of her father's home after he rode out the weekend storms in the basement with her brother.
The house is gone, pretty much. Like, it's destroyed. All of our family history is here.
The family scrambling to save what they can fast.
Is it exhausting to think that more severe weather might come through?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This has been a lot of work mentally. This has just been crazy to deal with.
And you can see here people already writing messages thanking the volunteers and the crews that have been jumping in to help. And by the way, a similar story on tap once again today. Residents here will keep trying to sort of race to clean up, knowing another severe system is headed this way.
Maggie Vespa there in a hard hit Nebraska. Maggie, thank you so much. Damage behind her there in Nebraska.
It is indeed. Let's check in with Mr. Roker, get a check of the details. Hey, Al.
Yeah, it has really been difficult, and we've got more difficult weather to talk about. Good morning, everybody. Flood watches right now for 5 million people from Oklahoma all the way down to Texas, parts of Louisiana as well. We have a risk for some very severe heavy rain developing down through Texas, moderate risk from east central Texas. Then today and tonight, we've got more severe weather, unfortunately, from Texas through central Oklahoma into Kansas. Tornadoes possible, wind gust of 60 miles per hour, 3-inch or hail or larger. Then tomorrow, this cold front moves into the Mississippi River Valley. Another round of showers and strong storms. We're looking for a marginal risk of severe weather again tomorrow, stretching from the Great Lakes all the way down into Texas. And the rainfall amounts, some places upwards of 5 inches of rain or more. And if it has seemed very active, in fact, this has been the second most active April on record. 365 tornado reports. The last time we had this was, or higher, was April 2011. Now, we're seeing more winter tornadoes due to a warming climate. The problem is Tornado Alley has moved east into higher populated areas, and the tornado outbreak days are becoming more frequent. And we're also looking at that tornadic thunderstorm activity developing more tornadoes because these thunderstorms are more intense because of climate change. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. Coming up, new developments in the Idaho College murders case. Prosecutors and the defense now battling over DNA evidence and the suspect's alibi ahead of a key court hearing. We're going to have the very latest.
Plus, good news if you are tired of those soaring fast food prices. We're going to take you inside one popular restaurant's plan to make the menu more affordable. How about that? Okay. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Thomas's presents Technique with Tom.
Slicing an English muffin with a butter blade? Boulder Dash! Just pull apart with your hands and marvel in the nooks and crannies' splendor. For each one is unique, like a snowflake. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, 7:30. Wow, you've heard of a rain delay, but how about that? How about a bee delay? Oh. This was the scene last night at Chase Field. That's in Phoenix. Oh. The start of the Diamondbacks-Dodgers game held up for nearly 2 hours because a colony of bees swarmed the protective netting behind home plate. It was right there. Eventually, though, this beekeeper came. Taking care of that swarm, the crowd went wild.
Oh, my gosh.
What? But his work wasn't done. He was invited to throw out the first pitch.
Cool.
And then after all that stuff, it really was time to play ball.
Okay.
What a cool moment.
Yeah.
Imagine getting that call.
No.
You're like the beekeeper going, wait,
like,
what?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
They also had a beekeeper so close by, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
A little intriguing. We've got a busy half hour ahead, folks. We're going to start with some new developments in that case that we have been watching very closely here at the show in Idaho. Prosecutors now blasting the accused killer's alibi while his defense team presses to unseal DNA records.
Yeah, NBC's Liz Kreutz joins us with the story. Liz, good morning.
Hey, Savannah. Hey, guys. Good morning to all of you. Yeah, as the legal teams go back and forth over the DNA and discovery in this case, let's remember at the heart of this are the victim's families still waiting for a trial date to be set. And all signs suggest they won't find closure anytime soon as this legal process continues to drag out.
This is State of Idaho versus Brian Koberger.
This morning, Brian Koberger's legal team fighting to unseal DNA records used to pinpoint him as the suspect, while the state argues his alibi comes up short of the legal standard, urging the judge to reject it. Earlier this month, Koberger's attorney said Mr. Koberger was out driving in the early morning hours of November 13, 2022, as he often did to hike and run and or see the moon and stars. Prosecutors now writing that the alibi response continues to lack the specificity required by Idaho code, and the defendant is offering nothing new to his initial alibi. The judge appeared skeptical of that initial alibi last year.
So-called alibi, not really an alibi.
If the judge does reject this alibi, then what?
Then the defendant himself, of course, can always testify and present his evidence.
In charging documents, investigators say Koberger's phone was turned off during the early morning hours of the murders almost a year and a half ago. Later that day, Madison Mogan, Kaylee Gonzalez, Zana Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin were found fatally stabbed in their off-campus home near the University of Idaho. A judge entered a not guilty plea on Koberger's behalf. Prosecutors say DNA left on a knife sheath found at the home was a statistical match to Koberger's. But the process they used to find the match using relatives' DNA from genetic genealogy companies is under fire from Koberger's defense. His attorneys are now asking the judge to let their investigators review the FBI's materials that prosecutors say led them to Koberger and to unseal parts of those DNA records.
Where do we go from here?
The legal maneuverings playing out in slow motion for the victims' families eager for a trial date.
That's right. We may never get to trial.
Now, this all comes as Koberger is set to appear back in court tomorrow. His legal team is fighting to get the judge to make another upcoming hearing open to the public. All eyes, though, are on whether this case will eventually get moved out of Latah County entirely. That hearing is set for late next month, guys.
All right, Liz, thank you. I want to turn now to NBC News legal analyst Danny Savalas. Danny, good morning. So the defense is able to present an alibi. In this case, what the defense is offering isn't exactly an alibi. It's not saying, oh, I was over here doing something else with someone else at the time of the crime. It was just saying, I couldn't be there because I was the cell phone towers weren't pinging. So where do you think this is headed?
A couple things. The defense normally doesn't have the burden, but if they're going to say, hey, I was somewhere else, then they have to provide notice to the prosecution of where that somewhere else is. So the prosecution can go track down things like surveillance video and other evidence to disprove that theory. And Idaho law requires that you give that advance notice. The problem here is that the notice they've given is that he was generally driving around in an area that was close to the murders. And the prosecutors actually point out that your alibi is actually the same thing as what we allege in our affidavit.
So why are they fighting to keep it out? Why wouldn't they just say, exactly, you were driving around and no one knows where you were?
Right. They could take that approach. But what they're saying is that they haven't sufficiently complied with the requirements of Idaho law because they want more information from the defense. In other words, if you're going to say you were in a particular place, tell us exactly where you were driving. Just driving around looking at the stars is not enough. Give us a specific place and then we'll go out and disprove that. Because if it's the gas station or an all-night diner, that's what we want because we can go find out about that.
Yeah.
Danny, as Liz just pointed out there in her story, Koberger's team wants this next pretrial hearing on discovery open to the public. Why would they want that? What's the thinking there?
My view is that the strategy of the defense is they want more things open, and their concern, the defense, is that the prosecution has wanted to seal and keep secret things like investigative genealogy evidence, DNA evidence. And it's part of the overall strategy of the prosecutors to keep as much sealed as possible. I think the defense wants more things open so that more things get revealed and maybe even get reported so that everything's more out in the open. I think that overall benefits the defense, especially if they're advancing a theory of innocence, as they have said in open court, which surprised me.
Danny, thank you very much.
We'll
keep an eye on it.
All right. Coming up, guys, with breast cancer rates rising, a story everybody needs to see. We're going to break down the new guidelines urging women to get screened earlier and more often.
First, though, Christine Romans is here this morning with some encouraging signs when it comes to those soaring fast food prices. Hey, Christine.
Hi, guys. Good morning. After 2 years of rapid menu price hikes, Americans are fed up. They are not loving it. And you're going to see some changes through the drive-through. That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mel Robbins. Let's cut to the chase. There is a change you want to make right now, but you're waiting to feel motivated. You don't need motivation. You've got me. You can change your life anytime you want. And when you're ready, the Mel Robbins podcast is here to help you with inspiration and simple science-backed tools to help you create a better life. Listen to me and you'll feel motivated, all right. Listen and follow the Mel Robbins podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Back 7:41 this morning on Today's Consumer, the pushback against sky-high fast food prices.
Yeah, they've got a lot of Americans changing how and where they spend their money. And now some of the industry's most popular chains are ready to make a few changes of their own.
NBC senior business correspondent Christine Roman's here with some more details on this one. Good morning.
Good morning. It's the power of your purse, America. A new earnings report from McDonald's seems to show there are some picky eaters now in the drive-thru lane. More Americans increasingly choosing to stay at home instead of dealing and paying for high prices. This all centers around the battle for affordability, forcing these fast food chains to compete for diners.
Fast foodies are fed up, taking to social media to rant about what they see as non-value meals.
$17 for three filet of fishes at McDonald's? Are you kidding me?
After 2 years of menu price hikes, big companies finally feeling the pushback from diners. McDonald's profits falling short of expectations, a rare stumble for the Golden Arches. The CEO on Tuesday noting today's consumer is being picky about how they spend their money, and the company needs to be laser focused on affordability.
Has the consumer finally spoken and now they have to focus on value?
The consumer is frustrated by the prices they are paying at fast food restaurants, and they are absolutely voting with their feet.
Opting, he says, for Domino's or Burger King, which both exceeded expectations, or cooking at home, where food inflation is cooling. Inflation measuring food at home rose just 1.2% in March versus a year ago, compared to 4.2% for food away from home, which includes fast food. Those customers are increasingly revolting at repeated price increases. Mother of five, Latifa Henry, says if prices get any higher, she'll skip the drive-thru.
We're looking at like $10, $11, $12 sometimes just for one meal. So that is kind of something where we're like, okay, do we really want to eat out at McDonald's for those prices? Or can we find somewhere that's, you know, a little higher quality that is pretty much a similar price?
And it's not just the burgers. Drinks have gone up too. Prices for Coca-Cola up 7% in North America. And 2 months ago, Wendy's CEO fired up controversy when he told investors the hamburger chain would test dynamic pricing starting next year, changing prices at different times of the day. In California, Chipotle, Chick-fil-A, Pizza Hut, and Jack in the Box warned customers of higher prices ahead because of a new $20 minimum wage for their workers. As for McDonald's, in an effort to calm customer concerns, it plans to test out a higher quality and bigger burger later this year.
So Christine, I mean, we know about that. We've been talking about the fast food prices soaring at these fast food places for a while now. But what about the more casual dining options like Applebee's, for instance? Are they going up there as well?
They've been raising prices at Chili's and Maggiano's. And, you know, and Darden Restaurants, which owns Olive Garden, noted in its earnings report that they people who make $75,000 or less were going to Olive Garden less because of the higher prices. So you can see up and down the income strata, but definitely people who make less money are going out less. It's interesting, too. You know what? There's a new trend happening. Wawa Sheets, some of these convenience stores, gas station convenience stores, they're offering more hot food, more choices because they're getting those fast food customers who are sick and tired of rising prices. So I think you're going to see more value menus this year. I mean, the people you're voting with your dollars. You really are when you're changing how you behave, you know, and how you shop. And McDonald's and these other companies have seen it.
Here you go, Christine.
Oh, thank you very
much. We enjoyed your report so much. We decided to give you a gift.
Yeah, I know. Someone, whoever's expensing this, it costs more today than it did last year.
All right, Mr. Roker, you want one here?
No, hold on, Joey. Hold on.
Here we go.
All right, hold on. Travis gets one. Jason gets one.
Joey over there.
Oh! Joey went down. Anthony, there you go. All right, there you go. Here we go. Whoop! Dan's got to get Dan over there. There's one for John.
There you go. Come
one
on,
for John. There's Dan.
There we go. All right.
Everyone got there.
Everyone caught theirs too.
Uncle Roker taking care of everybody.
All right, let's show you what we got. We got a hot sandwich, got hot weather. Cincinnati, 83 degrees. I put that chili on that pasta. It's 12 degrees warmer than usual. Little Rock, 88. Cleveland, up to 80 degrees today, 16 degrees above average. Tomorrow, Allentown, you'll be in the 80s. Richmond, near 90. Same in Raleigh. Lexington, 88 degrees. St. Louis, you're going to be 15 degrees warmer at 87 degrees. Milwaukee, you cool down a bit. Temperatures into the 60s, but still right around seasonal conditions. Hartford in the low 60s. D.C. will be at the upper 70s. Louisville, you'll see temperatures in the low 80s. Going into the Kentucky Derby this weekend, of course, right here on NBC. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al. Thanks.
Still ahead this morning, it is College Decision Day. We are throwing an epic party on our plaza. These are remarkable students, and they are ready to reveal to the world where they're going to head in the fall. And we are prepared to celebrate with them.
We have the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Tiger Woods finally making his triumph. There he is. Sunday Red.
What's up, baby? How you doing, man?
I'm good. Finally a guest that's used to getting up early.
Tiger. Absolutely.
This is normal
for you.
This is normal.
What's up, brother? Come on, it's out, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Good
to see
you.
Hey, nice Tiger. To meet you, Tiger. Pleasure.
No. Savannah Guthrie, never man. Met
Savannah.
Tiger Woods.
Hi, never pleasure. Met you.
Tiger.
Great Al Rand.
How have I never met you before? Okay. How are you?
It's nice to meet you. Good to see you.
Tiger. We'll chat with Tiger. Lots to cover.
Cool. Got Sunday Red is watch
clothing
line.
Watch you the entire time.
Wow. Very cool. Very
Hey, it's Mel Robbins. Let's cut to the chase. There is a change you want to make right now, but you're waiting to feel motivated. You don't need motivation. You've got me. You can change your life anytime you want. And when you're ready, the Mel Robbins podcast is here to help you with inspiration and simple science-backed tools to help you create a better life. Listen to me and you'll feel motivated, all right. Listen and follow the Mel Robbins podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.